We're back at 7 p.m. Finally, welcome into Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The Preds have snapped their six-game losing streak. They have snapped their five-game home losing streak, and they seem to be back on the horse after sweeping a home-and-home with the defending Stanley Cup champs. And the drama continues to build around this team. We're going to preview the upcoming week's games and also go down on the farm with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims. That's all tonight on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert in Murfreesboro and Nolensville. And the latest additions to the Slapshot Radio family of advertisers, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. And, of course, our good friends over at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. And, you know, Brent Peterson is not here, Zach.
Ah.
It's a holiday week.
Different.
It's a holiday week. So we've got somebody going to kind of pitch in, going to kind of fill in. You know, I think I need to, you know, now in the co-host chair, number one in the program and number one in your hearts, the one and only Pete, the Professor Weber. Mr. Weber, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me in here this evening. It's a good night to be inside, is it not?
It is absolutely a good night to be inside. And you know what? It's kind of nice. Pete, obviously a co-host of this show for years. And back when we were just a little show on an AM station somewhere in Middle Tennessee.
This starts to sound like Ted Baxter.
It does. Anyway, it is Slapshot Radio. And boy, what a difference a couple of days make. Oh, Zach, wow. I mean, you know, we're talking last Monday after just a couple of horrendous hockey games. Winnipeg comes in a little bit better, and finally here comes St. Louis. And I don't know where this Nashville Predators team came from again. But it was quite impressive to watch this team finally turn it around against the defending Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, certainly good to see them. Hope they stick around for a while. You know, it's funny. I remember turning to you after the Canucks game and saying, watch, this team is going to sweep St. Louis. And you said, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And
there it is.
It's rare when it happens that I'm right, but I'm really glad when it does. So I thought it was interesting these last two games, especially with Nashville. You kind of saw it begin with the Winnipeg game. And right, let's be honest, you can chuck, frankly, most of their losses, and especially the Canucks, to bad penalty killing.
Yeah.
And honestly, this team is starting to play hockey the right way, as they say. You know, they're starting to create speed in the neutral zone. They're forechecking efficiently. And the thing that they're doing that's most impressive right now, they're limiting those high danger chances, whether they're in front of Pecorini or UC Saros right now.
And on top of that, scoring the first two goals of both games against St. Louis.
It seems like they have kind of almost flipped it from an offensive perspective.
Yes.
Going from the most prolific scoring team in the third period in the National Hockey League to the last couple of games, really starting to jump out on top. I mean, heck, we didn't even get a chance to turn that game on Saturday night, and they were up 2-0.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at this.
Whereas the game prior, they were down 1-0,
18 seconds
against,
in. Yeah, we remember that. Believe me, I had the shutout read all ready to go, and that happened. It was like, okay, let's move on to the next one.
Takes care of that.
Yeah. So, but Pete, you know, obviously, the West Coast trip was not the incendiary event that a lot of times that first long road trip ends up being. I mean, you look at a great start in Detroit, and then just it seemed like the wheels fell off of this team for a couple of days. It's almost like the hockey gods went, you know what? A lot of things were falling for you in the first couple of weeks of October.
It was too easy.
You know, in some respects, I think you're right there.
Yeah.
I mean, but these are the kind of things that a team needs to build off of as you start looking forward towards hockey later in the winter and early in the spring and later in the spring.
Yeah, you love later in the spring in particular, and early in the summer. But it's interesting, in a span of two games, in the Detroit game, Preds didn't start out strongly. They scored five in the second, went away from there. Several nights later, Predators had a lead, and then Colorado scored six times in the second period. So as you talk about a turning of the tables.
Mm-hmm. And you look at that as a game that really kind of really sent the spiral going. This Nashville team seemed to be feeding off of that. But then all of a sudden, I mean, and Zach, we've talked about it, the PDO kind of came back to the mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, things that were, I mean, you were finding the net like crazy. And over these last 2 weeks, you're looking at lots of shots going high, ticking just off the iron. I mean, it's the type of thing that happens when you're squeezing the stick just a tad too hard.
Yeah, regression is a cruel mistress, and mm-hmm. no one knows that better than Nashville Predators over the month of November. Really, not my favorite month in hockey history, that's for sure.
No kidding.
But if you look at what this team is doing right now, if anything, it's funny because the best line on the ice last night, the third line of Rocco Grimaldi, Craig yep. Smith, and noted sniper Nick Bonino.
And they have been many times.
They've been excellent this year. I'll be honest. I'm on this show. You know, you can go back and listen. You know, I think the Preds should maybe take a look at shipping Bonino while his value is high. Boy, am I glad they didn't. This guy is enjoying a career renaissance right now. You can look at last year.
Yeah.
High shooting percentage. You can look at this year. High shooting percentage. But you know what? The guy is going to the right areas and mm-hmm. firing the puck. And when you're doing that, that's sustainable.
Well, no matter where he has played,
yeah.
he has never been afraid of being in the dirty areas.
Well, and the interesting piece, Pete, last night, you look at the play because it came from an incredibly smart outlet from Dante Favreau.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
great hang time, but guys.
And again, then it goes to Rocco Grimaldi, who has the ice sense and the vision to see Bonino alone in the slot. And Bonino just picked the corner, and Allen had no chance at that, even though he saw it all the way.
We have to also give high praise for his hand-eye just to be able to handle that high pass like
yep.
that.
It was
had
a really great play. Oh, no question. And when you look at something like that, you know, that's when, again, I've been joking with people that if I told you as we were sitting here on the preview show in September, and I was going to tell you, you know what, Philip Forsberg is going to have 10 goals by Thanksgiving. And everyone look at me and go, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to say, oh, and by the way, so is Nick Bonino.
Right.
And
right,
it's going to be, well, you know, what are you smoking and do you have any more?
I say, with Philip Forsberg, they'd say Canadian or U.S. Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, it was almost Canadian the way he got started. But when you look at this now, I mean, again, this, I can't be upset at a season that is going to show some challenges. I mean, you look at how well this team, and you know, I know Coach Laviolette keeps saying, okay, I'm looking back, don't want to look back. The team's saying that. But when you look at it, you know, you go into the playoffs in 17 as an 8 seed, you know, you're playing with house money. You go into the playoffs in 18 as the President's Trophy winner.
It's your money.
It's your money. And not only is it your money, you're looking at it going, you know what, hey, I belong here. And the other guys are going, nah, we do too. And it was just too easy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was just not enough challenges.
Ask Tampa Bay.
And you look at that. I mean,
expectations are difficult to manage. And I think you can say that of any elite team in this league.
Absolutely.
Is there a team that really handles expectations in this league well? Look at what's happening in Toronto right now. Firing their coach, bringing in Sheldon Keefe, completely crumbled under the weight of his expectations. Look at Tampa right now, who's starting to figure it out, but certainly has not had a great start. Look right here in Nashville. People were projecting Nashville to win the division. Still a possibility. Absolutely can happen. But right now, they're not in the playoffs. They're fighting for a wild card spot.
Well, and one of the teams that they're fighting with a wild card spot over, same kind of, you know, a lot of pundits were calling for this to be, you know, Vegas to, you know, to at least make the finals. They're out of the playoff picture right now, and they're on a slide.
Yes, at 500. Nobody anticipates that from them.
So you look at all of this stuff at the beginning of this season, and you just realize that, first off, that preseason predictions mean absolutely nothing, you know, except, of course, for mine. And then, you know, but you look at the flips and turns that this season is going to go through. I mean, a six-game losing streak is not something you ever want to do. I mean, the Predators literally fell from second in the division to fifth.
Yes.
You know, and on a six-game losing streak. I mean, and now...
Parity.
This is what the GMs and Gary Bettman and everybody else wanted. When you put that salary cap in, it does tend to equalize the talent out, and it gives you a lot more parity.
It's funny, because every team we've tried to bury this year so far, with the exception of, you know, Minnesota or L.A., and heck, it can still happen. I mean, heck, San Jose was left dead in the water, and yes, they're in a wild card spot now. Buffalo was supposed to be, you know, the next great coming, you know, and... After that
was repeated from last year.
Exactly. You know, second verse, same as the first.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I'm better the eighth. I am.
It was Phil Housley's fault. Oh, wait a minute. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes you have to look at team construction on there. Well, we are off and running on this hour of Slapshot Radio. Paul McCann with you. Zach McCann, our special guest co-host tonight. So happy to have him here. The voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. Pete.
It's time to lean back.
It is time to lean back in your chair. You haven't been able to do this for a couple of... Thank you very much. They've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor is Slapshot. Hey, you got to play your hits. The premier sponsor is Slapshot Radio. Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Boy, what a great staff, a comfortable environment. They do make it a lot easier to get your dental needs taken care of. Just visited them last Tuesday. Man, I tell you what, it was a great visit. Nice cleaning, nice checkup, all of that kind of good stuff. They've got all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call her for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles.
I am not an animal. I'm a human being.
I like it. Kenny pulling out the rush. Not bad, not bad. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, the game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber with us tonight in studio. And before we get to this segment, I do want to talk to you about Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. They are the largest wine and spirits retailer in Middle Tennessee, dedicated to offering the best selection, the most knowledgeable staff, and the most competitive pricing in town. As a matter of fact, if you find a lower advertised price, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits will match it. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, the only choice for your beverage needs, with new local ownership. They're located over at 1935 Mallory Lane, right next to Academy Sports, across from Cool Springs Mall. And believe me, they are worth the trip. Best prices, best service, free delivery on bulk orders. There is simply not a better choice. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Call them at 615-771-7436 or check them out online at coolspringswines.com. Reimagine what a wine and spirit store should be. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. So, Pete, mm-hmm. Zach, lot of news breaking around the National Hockey League, some of it from behind the bench. Let's kind of talk a little bit about this, because the pressure finally got to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mike Babcock, Zach, fired in Toronto, and man, the knives are out for him.
Yeah, you think he's leaving Boston with the way he's getting attacked on the way out, huh?
Whoa.
I mean, honestly, you look at everything that's come out and just some awful stories. And the thing is, if you look at especially the Mitch Marner story, for those who aren't aware, essentially he made Mitch Marner create a list of all the players on the team from most hardworking to least hardworking, and then proceeded to tell who the least hardworking were on his list, which really makes a rookie feel good and ready to play and like he's part of the team. But a lot of people, when they heard that story, for players, they weren't super surprised.
You know, the interesting piece, Pete, about that is that I'm seeing a lot of Canadian writers right now saying, wait a minute, this is nothing new. We've all known it. Why is it such a big deal now?
Yeah, and this, let's face it, in Detroit, there weren't many problems. They had the talent.
And let's remember, when Mike Babcock took over the Detroit Red Wings, the talent was already developed.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a matter. You had stars on that team already.
The kids that came up were overripe. because they were kept at Grand Rapids for a long time.
Well, I mean, there was so much talent in that team. I mean, you're absolutely right. And when you look at how it worked.
And to say nothing of John Tavares or his leadership ability, you'd be hard-pressed to find a captain like Nicklas Lidström.
Oh, no question about that. So when you look
and prior
at
to that, Steve Eisman.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you look at all of that, some things, you know, some things kind of make sense that we had, you know, anointed Mike Babcock as the, you know, the great coaching hope. And I mean, you know, honestly, when you look at the Detroit Red Wings,
look at the Detroit roster, look at the Team Canada roster. I'm pretty sure one of the three of us here could have coached them to golds and Stanley Cups.
Maybe. I mean, you look at that kind of talent. Now, look.
Now, I think he had the Anaheim Ducks overachieve
going
to the Cup Final in 2003.
Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not going to question the man's coaching talent because I think he is a solid coach.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But I also think when you're under here's the thing. I look at something like this as hurting Toronto's chances to getting the next Mike Babcock.
I mean, they're not looking for the next Mike Babcock. Sheldon Keefe is the guy in Toronto.
And get that.
And that was the general manager's hire back in Sault Ste. Marie.
But here's the thing. Again, coaches are hired to be fired.
Sure.
When this coach eventually is chewed up and spit out by Toronto, what veteran coach is going to want to go there?
It'll be a new GM hiring him, though.
Yeah, I think?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know what? Whoever he is, right.
When is he going to hire Ken Hitchcock?
We'll all be dead in our graves, and Ken Hitchcock will still be coming in.
He'll be animated. It'll be the android version of Ken Hitchcock.
Instead of Weekend at Bernie's, it'll be Weekend at Ken's.
The Hitchcock hologram, you know.
But, I mean, and the other coaching news that's out there right now, I mean, coach on the hot seat in the Calgary Flames, and it's not because of the performance on the ice. Coach Bill Peters, there's been some former players, that started this, that came out and talked about how the coach utilized a certain racial slur that, you know, that even in 2009 people knew you shouldn't be using.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, there's a big discussion going on. Okay, do you hold someone accountable for something 10 years later? But
and then the question after that, why now?
Why does it come out now? But isn't that, Pete, that's kind of hockey. That's a little bit of the hockey culture.
Yes, and I think part of it, too, is they have not been living up to expectations. Here we go, another part of that theme.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, you know, say what you will about cancel culture as a whole, but at the same time, if you're willing to use those kind of terms, that's not really something that goes away. I mean, we're not talking about a guy who was 18 years old and on his first thing starting out back in 2009.
Right.
We're talking about a developed human being at that rate. And I'm sorry, I feel like even at my age then, you knew that you shouldn't be dropping N-bombs at people. Like, and that's just a thing. You don't do that.
And the curious thing about all of this is it comes up, you've mentioned Mike Babcock, but for whom did Bill work?
Mike Babcock. It's an interesting... And you're seeing players come out now since the first player
additional
came out.
Ones, yes.
Additional
yes.
players come out. So, I mean, I know there was rumors flying this afternoon that Peters had been fired. The GM comes out and says, no, he's not. But
we are investigating.
The thing is, there are so few, you know, African-Americans, African-Canadians in this league. And things like that to say, okay, well, it was a long time ago. That is so ostracizing to any other player who would say, oh, I want to look at hockey.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at, you know, a player like PK Subban, who is criticized at every single turn for whatever he does, that's ostracizing. If you want to say this is a white sport, then have Bill Peters keep his job.
It's going to be an interesting time in Calgary right now. There's no question about that. So, you know, the coaching.
I'm wondering if it's going to last through the night. I wonder if something is going to happen.
It's probably out of date by the time it goes up as a podcast.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, again, it wouldn't surprise me to see something come across, you know, right now. I mean, the, you know, so when you look at this type of thing going on, I mean, and now you look around the league and go, okay, you know, who else is on the hot seat? I'll be honest, two games ago, you could probably add Peter Laviolette to that, even though, you know, his comment at the end of the game, I haven't gotten any pressure from ownership at all. But you know what? That wouldn't surprise me. And that's not a criticism.
No.
That's just, you know.
At some point or another, there's always a seat that feels hot.
Of course. Now, I think in a lot of respects that maybe, you know, whistling past the graveyard a little bit, that's fine. I mean, you've got to maintain your confidence. It's kind of like a goalie that's just given up four. You know, his mind is, I'm not giving up a fifth one.
Right.
You know, so, I mean.
Thank you, Grant Fuhr.
Yeah, you go there. But it's fascinating to see this right now because you make a combination of expectations, Toronto. You make a combination of other places where there are high expectations. Quite frankly, I'm kind of surprised John Cooper's not on the hot seat in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Only because there's so many other storylines in the league, I imagine.
But think about how relieved about 5 days ago they probably felt in Buffalo that they had not succeeded in their romancing of Mike Babcock.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, the other interesting thing, and you mentioned Buffalo, which is what I want to talk a little bit about as well, because the one more time, the Department of Player Safety is taking front and center on suspensions. I mean, obviously, can talk about the Bortuzzo, suspension of four games that
one game more than spitting.
Yeah, and. That's the interesting standard that you start getting this, fair, unfair, whatever. It's there.
Yeah. Your deputy commissioner set the standard, you know.
Is it equitable?
Exactly. You look at the elbowing, incident that happened to Rasmus Dahlin last night in the Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out two games. So if he spit in his face, it would have been a third?
I think the sad thing is...
Or maybe it would have been five.
Maybe.
Two and three.
It's funny because, we spent the first half of this segment kind of bemoaning old-time hockey a little bit and saying, these aren't acceptable things. But, boy, if you went after a star player like that, and make no mistake, Rasmus Dahlin and Victor Arvidsson are star players for their respective teams.
Yes. Yep.
And to only have a slap on the wrist like that, boy, they'd have been killed 20, 25 years ago.
Well, Peter, I mean, you...
The vigilante approach.
You started out in this game... During the 70s,
yep.
During this time of the Broad Street Bullies, during the time when, that no one likes to talk about, that Montreal had to bulk up in order to beat Philly at its own game.
I mean, if Larry Robinson had not taken care of that one night in the 76 finals.
That's right.
If he had not just wiped the ice right there with Gary Dornhofer.
Yep. It's a different.
We're not talking about three straight cups for Montreal.
Yeah, it's three straight for Philly at that point.
Yes.
No question about it. So when you go back to that, and I will tell you, there is enough old time hockey in me that I look at that and go, you know what? I kind of miss that a little bit because you know what? If somebody went after Gretzky, McSorley was on you like white on rice.
Yes.
Somebody went after a Hound Dog Kelly, a Bobby Clark. You had to deal with Dave Schultz.
Yes.
We
saw a little bit of that in this home and home series with St. Louis.
I think we did.
A little bit of that element.
Yeah, I think we did. And who'd have thought?
As much as you'll get from these teams.
Well, exactly. But who'd have thought?
In today's age, yeah.
Who'd have thought that Dave Schultz would be played by Matt Irwin last night?
Yes, there you go.
I mean, you had to love that.
Playing the role of Dave Schultz, Matt Irwin.
Hey, we're just halfway through Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And coming up. In just a few minutes, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals meets the voice of the Milwaukee the Milwaukee Predators. Did I say that? The voice of the Nashville Predators.
Well, they have been that on occasion.
They have. Aaron Sims joining us next on Slapshot Radio. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking you down on the farm, brought to you by Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, and the professor, the voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber, sitting in with us tonight. And from one voice to another, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals taking us down on the farm, Aaron Sims. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Who the heck is he talking to?
Gentlemen, I heard Pete was there, so I had to go with him. Gentlemen, yeah.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right, I
thank
see
you, Aaron.
I see.
You guys are included, kind of guilt by association.
I see. Well, Pete just wrote out the check and threw it in an envelope, so I think you'd expect it the next day.
In
or
U.S.
so.
Funds.
Very good.
So, geez, things are just a tad bit exciting in Milwaukee. These Admirals are, as the kids like to say, kicking butt and taking names.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, obviously. There was a 1-0 loss on November the 1st, which actually was a really good game against Iowa, a team that has had the Admirals' number the last couple of seasons. But since then, the Admirals have won 10 straight. They're averaging just under 5 goals per game. Their power play is at 46% in that span in those 10 games. It's been really, really amazing to watch. It's been a lot of fun. And what's even neater is the guys are, they could take a night off. They could use excuses. I mean, the team had a stretch where they were in 5 hotels in 5 nights.
That's kind of like you a few years ago.
In 5 different cities. You're right. Yeah, you're right. That's true. they've done it. They've done a really good job. And I tell you what, the leadership, Jared Tenorti and those players, and then on top of that, the head coach and the assistants, Carl Taylor, Greg Rollo, and Scott Ford, have done a magnificent job. And I'm upset because I don't think that enough credit goes around. Carl is a guy who never coached or played in the NHL. Greg Rollo has 11 games experience, and Scott Ford never did and never played in the NHL. And I just think that those guys, they're under the radar a little bit, and I wish they were on the radar because they've done a whale of a job. And, it's been really something to see.
Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, going down on the farm. Pete?
Were you predicting last night that Daniel Carr would be the guy that scores the game winner?
Of course he was.
You know what? It doesn't really surprise me. Daniel Carr, and I'm sure you guys have seen this in the past, Daniel Carr is flat out too good to play in the American Hockey League.
Yes.
What his role is in the NHL, people are still trying to figure that out. That was game 104 for him in the NHL. Down here, he is supremely confident. He's an excellent teammate. He's a thoughtful person off of the ice. I've really enjoyed getting to know him the last month. But on the, like I said, on the ice, he's fantastic. He's too good for the American Hockey League. So given the opportunity, I could say yes, or I could see at least that he was contributing. If he's given 12 minutes a night, I think he can make something happen. Down here, it reminds me years ago, Nick Spaulding came down.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people thought Nick Spaulding, he was the last cut. And Nick Spaulding came down, and every single shot he took, whether it was morning skate or regular practice or the games, it seemed like everything had a purpose to it. Everything had, it wasn't just a dump in. It wasn't just a shot into the belly of the goalie. He was trying to score every single time. He went back up after 4 games, never came back. And Carr is the same way. Everything he does is purposeful. He's a phenomenal player, and I hope it's in Nashville. I hope they can figure out a role for him in some way, because I think a personality and a person and a player like that can help a team.
Hey, Aaron, so obviously Daniel Carr riding a 10-game point streak in the AHL before his call-up. Who else has been driving the bus as Milwaukee goes for this amazing, perhaps franchise record-setting 11th win on Wednesday?
Yeah, Yakov Trenin has been magnificent. He got the call-up earlier this season, as you guys know. He's been tremendous. He's going hard. He's understanding his body and how to use it. He's the guy that sets a lot of screens in front of the net. He gets a lot of deflections. He's doing a magnificent job. Weirdly enough, it's a couple of guys who are on American League deals now that have kind of these long point streaks. Cole Schneider was on a national contract last year. He's on an AHL deal this year. He has, I think it's 16 points in the last 10 games. Tommy Novak was a third-round pick of the Predators in 2015, and he had some struggles. He had a lot of injury problems at the University of Minnesota and never really played a complete season until his senior year. Tommy's on kind of a tryout deal, so to speak, and then he has just an American Hockey League contract, but he has points in 6 straight. And another guy you saw last year for a half dozen games, Colin Blackwell, has been magnificent. He's getting first power play unit numbers. They put him in the Ovechkin spot for his shot and to make plays. And he has been on top of the left circle. Carr has been on top of the right circle. And like I said, that power play is clicking at 46%. And Colin's been great. And let's throw in a name, too, that we've talked about a lot since I've been on. You guys have been nice enough to have me on your show. Alex Carrier. Alex Carrier has been phenomenal for the Admirals. And I hope like heck that he gets another look in the very near future. And then you just saw Steven Santini. So there are a lot of guys. I guess I've listed 6-7 right there. There are a lot of guys. The goaltending has been magnificent. It's been a perfect storm here in the month of November for the Admirals, and I hope that it can carry on all the way through June.
We're on the line with the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, Aaron Sims, on Down on the Farm here on Slapshot Radio. You know, I can't go too far without asking about Ellie Tolvanen. I know that he's kind of been a little bit up and down. Talk a little bit about what he's been doing lately.
You know what's interesting is you look at his numbers, and he scored 2 goals here the other night for the Admirals on Saturday. You look at his numbers and you say, what's going on? Because I think given a full season in the American Hockey League, I think the normal fan and the normal observer, whether they're involved with the team or not, would say he's got to be a 30-goal guy. He's got the shot. He's got the experience at the international level and what he did in the KHL and all of that. He's going to be a 30-goal guy. Well, his shooting percentage is about 5% right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the airport in Toronto, and I asked Carl Taylor about Ellie Tolvanen, and he says, I've got no problem with the way Ellie's playing. He's playing hard. He's breaking up passes. He has good stick detail. And I said, yeah, but they didn't sign him to be the guy with good stick detail. They signed him to be a guy. They drafted him to be a guy that's going to pump in 25, 30 a year in the NHL. And Carl showed me a piece of paper, and you guys know that coaches detail and keep statistics, their own statistics of chances for and chances against and primary for and primary against. And Tolvanen was at the top on all of the positive ones, and his net was the best of all of them. So he's doing it. It's just not going in for him right now. And with Daniel Carr here, Tolvanen got bumped to the second unit on the power play. And that first power play has been scoring within 30, 40 seconds nearly every time they've been out when they have scored. So there hasn't been a lot of time for that second power play unit. So Ellie is getting a lot of 5-on-5 time. He's even been out on the penalty kill lately. And he's really matured as a player. He's matured as a person a bit. And he's not as far away as the statistics would have you believe.
Well, one guy I wanted to ask you about too, Aaron, and you know he impressed me in camp. First year out of college, Jeremy Davies. How is he handling things on the blue line?
There, too. He's a guy, he's been playing with Steven Santini, and Santini has about 115 games in the NHL. But Jeremy has been making, he gets rid of the puck, and he moves it quickly. He can escape trouble if he gets into it. He's sort of like, and let me just preface this by saying, I'm gonna compare him to this player when he was in Milwaukee for just a couple of games, but he reminds me a little bit of Sammy Girard.
Okay.
In the fact that he has the escapability, he has some shifty moves offensively, he seems to be in the right spot defensively. He's not the biggest guy, but he can make some plays, and I don't think Jeremy is going to ascend to the NHL as rapidly as Sam Girard did, but I think he has a home in the National Hockey League in the not-so-distant future. He's been a really good player for the Admirals. The beginning of the season, we thought he was going to quarterback the power play.
Yeah.
That changed. He is not right now. They have some experience. They've gone 4 forwards on one unit with Alex Carrier. That's been the first unit. And the second unit, same thing, 4 forwards with Matt Donovan. And both of those players are experienced offensive players. But Jeremy had some time early in the season, and now things are just clicking so well that he's not getting out there at that time. But he is playing good minutes. He's playing well in his zone. And, he's going to get the opportunity again to be a power play quarterback. And, I'm excited for him. You know, he's a seventh-round pick. Obviously, he came over in the Subban deal. And I think he's going to be there, too. I think he'll be a contributor in Nashville in the not-too-distant future.
The Admirals are going for their 11th straight tomorrow night. We will certainly be keeping an eye out on that. And, Aaron, I certainly appreciate you taking the time. I'd like to wish you and yours a very, very happy Thanksgiving. Please give our regards to Coach Taylor, and thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you, too.
Absolutely. Take care.
Aaron Sims on Slapshot Radio. And, man, you know, Aaron does such a great job in Milwaukee. And this team has just been, you know, they've been fire throughout the month of December. I literally saved November 1. They're looking at a perfect November with a win over Manitoba and a win over San Antonio.
Yep, and we apologize for cursing them by saying that, but, you know.
Well, no, they can't have a perfect November because they lost on November 1st, so that's okay.
Well, there you go. Okay, good, good.
Perfect remainder
right.
of November.
Exactly, right?
Exactly. So, tell you what, this hour is flying by. We're going to be back to wrap this up. I do want to talk to you, though, about the sponsor of Down on the Farm, and of course one of our newest members, the Slapshot Radio advertiser family, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. I know you've heard the Lazy Boy name for as long as I can remember. Lazy Boy's known the world over for inventing the recliner more than 90 years ago, but you know, Lazy Boy is much more than one iconic product. Upholstered sofas, love seats, chairs, ottomans, to solid wood bedroom and dining room sets, Lazy Boy is passionate about bringing comfort and quality to every room of your home. And the interesting piece is this. I never knew this, but Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries is a local family-owned franchise. They have three locations in Middle Tennessee, one in Cool Springs, one in Hendersonville, and one in Murfreesboro. You know, I really love supporting my neighbors by shopping locally owned. And not only are the stores locally owned, most of Lazy Boy's products are built right here in Tennessee. Okay, you're out of excuses. You got to get over to Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. They've got some great Black Friday specials coming up. So check them out online, lazyboy.com. Look up the Middle Tennessee locations. And you know what? I watch almost every Predators away game from the comfort of my Lazy Boy. Three Middle Tennessee locations, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro. Go by and see my friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries and tell them you heard about it on Slapshot Radio. We'll be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny, an absolutely flawless job on the wheels of steel today. Always pull out a little Boston. One of the greatest voices in rock and roll, Brad Delp. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Or we could...
Better than Rod Stewart's?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or we could just go FM on you.
Oh, there you go.
Could never tell you used to do the whole radio DJ thing.
No, never. Never did that at all. It's Boston on FM. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway.
Slapshot Radio. 95, yeah.
Let's go. Let's talk about hockey. So before we talk about hockey, I do want to tell you about Carter Church from White Cart Realtors, the Andrews Group. You know Carter from the from the Preds broadcast. Let me tell you a bit about Carter. You know, I've gotten to know him as we worked together with the Predators. No. Well, if you want to call it dirt.
All right.
I mean, Carter's a Navy vet.
Yep.
He has incredible marketing experience. As a matter of fact, he's got the marketing experience you need to get your home sold fast in this fast-paced market. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, you're a real estate professional if you're buying or if you're selling. You know what? It's always fun to do business with a Preds fan. You can always talk hockey with them, too. So, guys, you know what? These past two games were huge.
But there's always another test.
Tomorrow night is huger. I believe.
Yeah.
You like that word?
No, I
do. I do. Yeah.
It is a
correct.
Big game.
It is the biggest game we've seen all year,
and until of course Friday night.
Well, yeah.
But you look at this stretch that's coming up, and you know you look at it and go, oh wow, they just beat the defending Stanley Cup champs twice in a row. But now you've got Vegas coming in, an angry Vegas team. A kind of a wounded animal Vegas team.
And one that probably remembers getting spanked pretty soundly by the Predators in October in their house.
Wouldn't surprise me if they remember that. Then turn around at a Black Friday game in Carolina.
With the watch party at Buffalo Wild Wings and Murfreesboro. Come on down.
I wonder who's hosting that. And then back to back, going from Carolina to South Florida to take on the Florida Panthers, who is, Pete, they're playing some very, very solid hockey right now. This is a tough stretch. These three games in four nights.
No surprise in Florida with the resources that now have been put behind the team, mm-hmm. and with Joel Quenneville coaching them, and what he has done with them defensively, which is where they needed their biggest bit of work.
Right.
Coming into this year, they're playing extraordinarily well. And Carolina, let's not forget, they're looking a lot like that team that was playing strong last spring into the late spring in the playoffs. They're right up there with both Washington and the Islanders.
The bunch of jerks is back as far as as far as Carolina goes.
And playing sharper hockey, I think, than they did last year. The hockey that they're playing in Carolina looks now, it just looks cleaner, honestly. They're playing great defense. They're getting solid goaltending. And it's just an impressive crop of both forwards and defensemen out there.
So that back-to-back, that's one of the more difficult back-to-backs, too.
It's the first set of the year.
Well, from a travel perspective, I mean, going from Raleigh to, what do you, just land at Miami? Or, I mean, where do you normally go into?
Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
Still.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, you're looking at a couple hours in the, you know, a couple hour flight time, turning right around and playing, and then turning right around and coming back.
It's always nice to come back.
Of course it is. But, I mean, you're looking at a lot of travel in these next, you know, in this next weekend. And surround that with a hopefully a turkey dinner on there that you know, couldn't be beat.
Just one.
And, you know, and we'll see what happens. But this is a big weekend right here because you get the feeling that the Preds have kind of, you know, righted the ship, turned the corner, whatever transportation, you know, analogy you want. But this weekend is going to be important to help keep that going.
Absolutely. You look at this, I think really there are a lot of big questions going on in Nashville right now. A lot of things to do with the lineup, certainly. A lot of questions, you know, going on with a lot of the scratches that you're seeing right now. And frankly, I think, you know, outside of the dilemma that you see with Kyle Turris right now, the biggest question for me is who do you start in net tomorrow? Because for the first time in his career, when Pekarinen was healthy, Juuse Saro started consecutive games.
And well, he's playing extraordinarily well.
I think he has been. You know, you look at Juuse Saro in net, and again, I always think that these goaltenders have the tells that let you know. You know, Pekarinen, when he's quiet between the pipes, when there's no extraneous movements, when there's just real solid, purposeful movement and a flash of the glove, you know he's on.
You want to see some early leather.
Exactly. Saros is a little bit different on that. And it's funny because Saros plays a much lower game, obviously, being shorter. But, I mean, just a much lower game, spends more time on his pads than Rene does. You know, kind of is not necessarily a flopper, but that butterfly style that he plays kind of keeps him on his pads. I noticed that last night. He was on his pads a lot last night.
You can see it with Rene's, the gold pads.
Yes.
Rene's tell is, like you said, the glove and being within himself. Saros' tell is his lateral movement. Mm-hmm. When he's moving from side to side and he's not sliding all over the place, that's when you can tell that Juuse Saros is really in the zone, which is so critical for a goaltender. When you have that ease of lateral movement and you're getting into that style, it keeps you within yourself, and especially when you have that size that Juuse Saros doesn't have compared to most goaltenders in the league, if you're able to get over quickly and cover that side of the net, you're going to be in good shape.
I don't, you know, it's so funny. I hear size. But I was watching last night, and my angle on there is pretty good. As long as, you know what, as long as he's not 4 foot two, I mean, you know, he's there. So I'm not as worried about height.
I'm not worried about his height. For me, the thing that's so impressive about Juuse Saros is the way that he sees the game, the way he plays the angles, the way that he uses his movement and his quickness within himself to make that size not a problem at all.
Right, and until we sign a guy who was somewhat quick enough, who was a sumo wrestler.
Yeah, 4x6.
That's what we're going to have.
If anyone could scout him, it's the Nashville staff.
It would, you know,
well, you could somewhere in Finland.
Could have the wall was from the Geico commercials. Yeah, no sleepies.
One of the top Finnish sumo wrestlers.
Yes.
but you know, Zach, you bring up, you know, we're kind of joking about that, but you bring up a good point. I mean, every team gets to this point when you go from a franchise goaltender towards the end of that franchise goaltender's career. And, I mean, look, we know that there's less seasons in front of Pekarinen than there are behind him. That's an open secret.
However, I will say this about Pekarinen. I mean, neither goaltender's stats look good right now. The numbers are what they are. But if you look at Pekarinen's stats 5-on-5, he's near the top of the league right now. The problem is, penalty kill, he's at the very bottom of the league right now.
Well,
and that's the interesting thing that you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Until this team fixes their special teams penalty kill issue, you're going to see your goaltender struggle like that.
And you talked about that when we were talking before the show, Pete.
Yes.
It's that whole thing of, you know, this team defensively, and we've talked about this ad infinitum so far this season. This team defensively is not as tight as they have been previously.
That's not necessarily true from a numbers perspective, though.
But the eye test says different. Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because the numbers don't capture the giveaway in front of the net. The numbers don't capture the wrong positioning at the wrong time, the bad outlet pass. They really don't capture that. And I think we're seeing that more this year than we have in previous years.
They don't, and I will give you that. But the problem is, if you look at, and this is just an easy thing,
sure,
where these goals are being scored from, a lot of times those are ones that you've got to stop.
No question. And believe me, there's not any let's make excuses for what's going on. There's none of that going on right now. But I think that, you know, look, Pecorino thinks he should have stopped every one.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, no question
about
that.
Just like Thomas Volkoon did.
Yep.
Just
like almost good goaltender. Yeah.
Dan Ellis, Mason, except that one scored by Matt Duchene.
Of course. Well, so when you look at it, it's going to be interesting to see what the decision is tomorrow night. They'll be watching Day of Game Skate tomorrow, obviously. They'll be watching Day of Game Skate to see what the scratches look like. Well, Pete, you've done wasted another hour, my friend.
Wasted? No, we were sitting around talking about a game I love. This is fun.
No, Pete, thank you so much for taking the time and coming in and joining us again. Nice to have you back. That's it. Always enjoy doing the show with Pete Weber. So, you know what? There we go. We're done tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, remember, we are back next Monday night at 7 p.m., back in our regular time slot. A big thank you to our guest, Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals. Thanks to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate agent in Murfreesboro, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. For our producer, Kenny, our co-hosts, Pete Weber and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann, wishing you and yours a very, very happy Thanksgiving and saying good night and good hockey.